It's Marketplace Tech for Monday, October 17th in Emeryville, California. I'm Molly Wood, filling in for Ben Johnson. Netflix reports earnings after the bell today. Most analysts are expecting mixed results, but there is a little extra drama this quarter. This earnings report comes amid speculation that the company is an acquisition target for Disney. With me now to play with that idea is Michael Pachter, Managing Director of Equity Research at Wedbush Securities. Michael, you think the Disney rumors are overblown, but could another company want to buy Netflix?
It's possible that someone with much, much, much more money than sense would look at it. So maybe, maybe there's a company out there like Tencent or Wanda or NetEase who decides that they want to be in this business. I don't think so.
So we're headed into Netflix earnings. People seem generally positive about Netflix. Certainly its stock has done well. But I hear you saying the business model is generously suspect.
Yeah, their business model's broken. They made $140 million last year. And, they have a market cap of north of $45 billion. So, I can't even do that math in my head. They trade at 300 times earnings. It's a crazy number. I think that Netflix is a distributor, and they are just a distributor largely of other people's content.
And you think that's true even with its own moves into original content, which, as we know, is also expensive to produce?
We did a count. We found 8 originals that they actually own. And of the 8, the only one that you could name is The Chelsea Show. So any show that you want to name that's on Netflix that you think is really good, like Stranger Things or like Bloodline or like Orange is the New Black, they don't own it. So it's hard to build a business on content that they're licensing from others that they have to license again next year.
So, Michael, what do you think it would take for Netflix to win? Is there a scenario where they can turn this around?
Yeah, if everybody abandons cable, and I'm not suggesting in one day, but over a period of years, if we abandon cable and the only way that the content owners can monetize is through streaming video on demand, Netflix has a big head start. The issue there is that, the average, I'll just use U.S. numbers, the average U.S. household pays $85 for cable and generates about $65 a month in advertising revenue. So there's $150 per household, per cable household, that fund the whole ecosystem. And Netflix charges $10. It's not enough.
Michael Pachter is Managing Director of Equity Research of Wedbush Securities. Michael, thanks so much for talking with me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
With just a month to go before Election Day, polls are getting a lot of attention. There was controversy after the first presidential debate over online flash polls that were later proven to have been gamed by supporters of Donald Trump. Sunshine Hillegas is professor of political science at Duke. She says the business of polling has gotten dangerously out of hand. Sunshine, hi. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So we have seen a lot about online polls in this election cycle. Can you tell me exactly how they work? I mean, are they just unscientific surveys?
I think we have to be really careful to distinguish different types of online polls. Conducting a poll online just means it's a particular method or mode by which we contact people. And there are scientific online polls, and then there are some really, really terrible flash polls. And we've seen a lot of those this cycle, especially after the first debates. And these are flash polls, opt-in online polls. And these are ones that are really different from the scientific polling that can be conducted online.
Right. It's totally possible to game these polls, right? Just by encouraging a lot of people to vote at once?
Well, not only can they be gamed, but it's not clear what their value is. They are not representative of likely voters. They're not representative of the general population. And frankly, they're not even representative of whatever readership for a website that puts them online.
Can you give me an example of when you think that absolutely was misrepresented?
And again, I want to be, careful in saying that it's not just misrepresented. This is just flat out misinformation. And we really saw that after the first debate when, there were flash polls that showed Trump dominated or won the debate. And then once scientific polling was conducted, that conclusion changed. And an example that I will be using for many years to come is from CNBC. They had a flash poll on their website, and they had 1.2 million people participate. And Trump was the faraway winner in what they called a flash poll. And yet 2 days later, once scientific polling results came out, they had a headline that showed that Clinton won the debate. And so, you know, this type of use of the word poll and the use of unscientific polls in this way really just, you know, creates distrust of the media. It contributes to skepticism about the polling industry more generally, and just frankly is just really detrimental to campaign dialogue.
Sunshine Hillygus is a professor of political science at Duke. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
And rumors are swirling about something that is highly relevant to my interests, Pokemon Go Generation 2. See, even my diehard friends and I are feeling the same thing. We're stuck in the 20 levels and we're getting kind of bored. What's next, Niantic? The rumors say the next generation will include rare Pokemon that you can't catch now, but also more things to keep us interested, like trading and the ability to battle specific players instead of strangers. Unfortunately, none of those features are confirmed, and the rumors also say the update may not materialize until March. So in the meantime, I guess I'll keep catching Pidgeys. Marketplace Tech was produced today at the Reveal Studios at the Center for Investigative Reporting. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.